morning, everybody. Pastor Mike here with another Watchman Pure Bible study. We're in the book of Ruth, chapter 4. We talked about the law the last time and about how we can't keep the law and we should try to keep the law. Do the best you can. Okay? Do the best you can. Because remember, God helps those who help themselves. No, not really. God helps people who are totally Naomi. Could not help herself. She couldn't. She had no way of doing it. People say Christianity is a crutch. You know what? When your legs are all broke, crutches are a good idea. And that's me. And that's you. Is that we cannot help ourselves. We cannot keep and obey the law. I mean, we just our flesh is so weak. Because of the law, and our flesh can't do it. It cannot be subject to the law. It is rebellious. It is. In fact, let me illustrate this in a different way here. This was a real blessing to me when I read this. Here again, I'm just using this old, you know, King James Bible that everybody knows has got errors in it. Not. I want to show you something. This is on my neato list. Okay. I have a neato list, and this is one of them. I want us to look at. The law is represented in different ways in the Bible. One of them is by the number 10. We have the Ten Commandments. But another number that is a representation of the Old Testament, the law, is how many books there are in the Old Testament. Are you ready? We're in Genesis chapter 2. And look at what God spoke. I just, if you just want to keep doubting the King James, go ahead. But when I see stuff like this, I'm going, yeah, this is God. Okay, this is God talking here. By the way, when you pray to God, do you pray in Greek or Hebrew? You know, which one? Because I kind of think God knows how to speak English. You know, I just do. Anyway, in verse 16, here's what is the law, which is what God said in Genesis chapter 2. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, we're going to quote right here, starting with the word of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you wonder why I'm reading it this way, you'll find out in a minute, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Okay, now, start here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39. Exactly 39 words. That's how many books there are in the Old Testament. Okay? Exactly 39 words. And God gave Adam the law. Okay? There's just only one, but it's all wrapped up in 39 words. One law. It's all he had to do. Adam had everything. Okay? He had everything except one thing. But isn't that the depraved nature of human flesh? Is that we could have everything. But if we don't have that, we go, I want that. Okay, David could have had any wife. God told him, David, you could through Nathan the prophet, you could have had whatever such and such thing you wanted. I'd have given it to you. And yet he looked at Bathsheba and he goes, "I want that." Okay, it's kind of like somebody said this. It's like men with a remote control, the TV. Okay. Men don't want to know what's on TV. Men want to know what else is on TV. Okay? And that's how we are. We're flipping that. And then we're going to flip to that. And, ooh, I want to watch that. And then we go, oh, well, that's better. We have such a depraved nature that it's never, ever, ever satisfied. Solomon. God used him as an example. Solomon had 700 women that were officially wives. Okay? Every one of them was getting on him about leaving the toilet seat up. Okay, and 300 women who he just concubined with. Okay, they had no right to tell him where to leave the toilet seat up or down. So he had 1,000 women. And you can imagine, of every kind of woman that a man has ever lusted after, or a woman after a man, of every kind, he had them all. And he wrote in Ecclesiastes. It wasn't enough. I wanted more. He had nations of the world paying taxes to him. He didn't have any enemies, fought no wars, had all the money in the entire world. Okay, he practically owned the whole deal. Had it all. Had wisdom. But he wasn't happy. He wasn't satisfied. Okay? And so that's the depraved nature of mankind. God had given Adam everything in the world, but he said, this one thing you can't have. Now we would think, oh man, if you had like everything, you know, why would you go and ruin it all with that? Well, we have. Okay, we have, and we will continue to do so as long as this flesh lives. So anyway, 39 words here in the King James Bible, that represents the law of God. And then when we get into Genesis chapter 3, okay, Adam chose, Eve chose, and Adam chose after her to forget about God and His law and choose disobedience. And that's you and I. We can't, this flesh, no matter what we've been given, if you give us a law to break, buddy, we're going to break it. Okay? I mean, that's just how it is. All right, now I'm going to get off that. Whew, thank God. Okay? And let's keep moving on here. Now we see that the first redeemer, he cannot redeem it because he represents the law, can't do it, won't work. Okay? So he says in verse 6, he said, "I cannot redeem it." Okay, now, verse 7. I like this because this is going to be a little tie-in here. The law can't do it. What can? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay, the Gospels. Now, this was the manner, in verse 7, in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing. In other words, it was, who is this? I always forget who this guy is. I try to remember so much, and I can't remember very much of anything. Elimelech. This was Elimelech's property. Mahlon and Chilion, or whatever, his two sons, they're dead. Elimelech's dead. And so they're going to change. I like that word, change, transformed. Okay, they're going to change for to confirm all things. Confirm, think about that, confirmation. A man plucked off his shoe and threw it at George Bush. No, that's not what it says. A man plucked off his shoe, and that maybe that's what that guy was doing. Maybe that guy was saying, "Hey, Israel's going to be saved. Here, President Bush, here's my shoe." Okay, a man plucked off his shoe, and it's okay if I laugh a little bit, okay? Because I'm not going to be laughing here before too long. A man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony in Israel. Man plucked off his shoe. I'll get serious in a minute. A man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony, okay? I like it, a testimony. Testimony and testament are from the same, their same root, okay? A New Testament. It's going to be a change, and there's going to be a New Testimony, a New Testament given. So watch this. All right. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, "Buy it for thee." So he drew off his shoe, okay? So, and I'm thinking this is Boaz taking his shoe off and giving it to the first redeemer and saying, "Here you go." So that if anybody questions, it's the testimony. It's like a token, okay? If anybody questions whether or not, you know, hey, what's up with Boaz and Ruth? I mean, what's going on there? A little, you know. And the guy says, "Oh no, I've got a shoe here." Okay, I mean, he bought it and redeemed it, and I have a shoe. That's like the proof that it's been redeemed. Okay, now, and I want to say this. I probably think that there's some bigger meaning to this than what I'm going to establish with you today. But let's keep it very simple. The shoe. Let's go to. Let me turn here my King James Bible here. Ephesians chapter 6. The Bible says in verse 11, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and spiritual wickedness in high places." Always remember the four things, okay? In witchcraft, the elemental witchcraft, there's always four things here: earth, air, fire, and water. They represent the four that we wrestle against, the fourth kingdom of Daniel, and so on. Verse 13, wherefore take up unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. There stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Jesus said, thy word is truth. And go look through the Old Testament, see how many people, when they rose up, they girded up their loins and then went out to do some great task. And I'm telling you, you'll not do anything for Christ until you're saved, until you have the truth. Okay, and that truth is the word of God. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. It's not works of righteousness of ourselves. It is the righteousness of Christ that he puts on us. The breastplate is a barrier. It protects the heart. verse 15. Here it is. Your feet shod, the word shod and shoe all have the same root. Your feet shod with the preparation of, here it is, the gospel of peace. And so just in plain English, in plain language, excuse me, this shoe represented, it was the token of the gospel. Anytime you see the word sign, like in, let's see here, we pointed this out, I think it was in our clouds video, the language of the Bible. God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature. And I set my bow in the cloud. The bow is Christ, and behold, he cometh in the clouds. And that was the sign. When the shepherds were in the field keeping watch over their flock by night, the angel said, this shall be a sign to you. Okay, watch for a guy throwing a shoe at George Bush. Now, I get off that. This shall be a sign to you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. The swaddling clothes in Job are described as the clouds that cover the earth. The swaddling band. Okay, I absolutely love that because he came in clouds. He came in the clouds and he said, that's the sign. So a sign in the Bible usually typifies the coming of the Lord in some way. And in here in Ruth, we're absolutely going to see that the Lord, that we're fixing to see now that the sign has been manifested. We're fixing to see now that the coming of the redemption is going to take place. Okay, now, let's see here. By the way, it says in the book of Deuteronomy, and I lost my note. I come up here and I throw pieces of paper away, and I lost my note. But remember when God was taking the Israelites through the, here it is, 40 years of purpose in the wilderness. He had them 40 years. And I like this imagery because in the 40 years time, four Gospels, the spirit realm, the old generation passed away and a new generation came in to the promised land. Okay, but during those 40 years, you know what God said never happened in 40 years time? What did God say never happened? God said that your shoes never got frazzled, they never wore off, they never diminished or anything. I can't remember the verse, but God said your shoes that you walked on for 40 years, and I wear shoes for, man, I try to hang on to an old pair of tennis shoes for years. Okay, until they just absolutely can't stand up. Kind of like boys in tennis shoes. Okay, boys will wear tennis shoes until the tennis shoes get up in the middle of the night and walk off themselves. God said that never happened. So watch this. I like it because it represents the Bible, the gospel, the truth that shall never pass away. It shall never diminish. It shall never corrupt ever, 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 ever. And the token of this shoe is still preserved. You say it was in a museum somewhere? No, it's right here. Okay, the accuracy of the record of the Word of God, if this document were to be taken in court, it could stand up because it was a memorialized record of what happened on that day by a third-party witness. And so this would stand up in court as a sign of the redemption. And besides that, there was the 10 witnesses there who all saw the shoe go like that. And the 10 witnesses would be able to tell their story and say, we saw the transaction take place. The evidence is the shoe. Yeah, the shoe got thrown away in the yard sale, but we saw it take place. And so it's absolutely there. By the way, what we're getting to is that the inheritance now is going to be taken over, and the inheritance still belongs. It still belongs to Israel. Now, let's look at this idea of redemption for a minute. In verse 9, Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Okay, you're all witnesses now. The shoe is going to be hanging up, and I have bought everything. I have redeemed it. And you are the cloud of witnesses now that before everybody, so that you don't think some real estate hanky-panky is going on here. You know that I have redeemed this to myself, and it's manifested to everybody. That is in, let's see here. Let's, where is he? Okay, he's over on the other table. Let's use, I like using my books here for examples. That's why I keep them up here. Aquarian conspiracy. It's a big secret. Nobody knows. And people join secret societies and they keep it a secret and nobody knows, okay, what's going on there. And yet, in this case here, they weren't meeting behind closed doors, you know, like the G20 summit or the Bilderbergers or anything like that. They're out in the open and saying, now everybody's a witness now that I have redeemed this in myself. That is the total opposite of Mystery Babylon the Great. Now, he redeems it. I want to look, just the time that we have left today, I want to look at this theme of redemption. I love the idea of being bought back. The Bible says we were sold under sin. Okay, God sold us. Okay, we became slaves. This idea that we accumulated a debt, kind of like, you know, the United States of America. We accumulated a debt in our life by sinning. We were writing checks in our flesh that our flesh couldn't cash anymore. Those of you who have been and are right now under the bondage of financial distress, it's awful being in that kind of bondage because you don't know. I mean, you don't know what's going to happen. That you could lose your house, you could lose everything you've got. Okay. That's how it is with sin. We have been out sinning, writing checks that we couldn't cash, okay? Borrowing, our government, borrowing money. I read this morning on the news, I read that the government is real close now to passing a law that is going to change how all the children eat in our public schools. Okay, it's going to get rid of this mean, nasty, greasy food that they're serving and replace it with stuff that primarily kids are not going to eat and they're going to throw it away. I'm not necessarily against it. I'm just saying here's how the bill more than likely is going to work. They're not just going to pass a law that says, we now dictate that no school can have this and this and this in their cafeteria. What they're going to do is, what this really is, it's a multi-billion dollar. Now, why is it that a law should cost so much money? Here's how it works, okay? Your local school district in this country, by law, is governed by the local school board, not by the federal government, okay? It's not supposed to be that way. The local school board is supposed to say, this is how we're going to teach our children. What happened? What happened over the years? Department of Ed comes in. Department of Ed says, you know what? We're seeing that your teachers don't make a lot of money, and we see that you probably need some building help. And, the principal, he only makes $115,000 a year, and most of the guys, you know, doing that make a quarter mil. We actually have a program. We've got about $15 million set aside. We can give that to your school. Let us do that. We just have some, you know, guidelines that we want you to follow. But the 15 mil is yours. And the public school goes, yeah, give us the 15 mil. Okay? And so now all of a sudden they have to do these guidelines. And so what's going to happen is the federal government has 15 some odd billion dollars set up in this law or something like that, that they're going to say to the schools, we want these guidelines enforced in your schools, even though we have no right to tell your school what you can have for lunch. We have no right to do that. However, we'll give your school a $2 million program that we will buy the food for you and put it in your school, and you won't have to buy any food anymore. That's how it works. Where did the United States government get that $15 billion? We borrowed it from China. Okay, maybe the kids will be eating Chinese food now. We borrowed it from China. We don't have the money. We're bankrupt before God. And we are. We are morally and spiritually bankrupt. And so now we're sold into slavery. America, get ready. Okay? Because most of the people I know are this Christmas season buying up a bunch of stuff they don't have the money for. They're using, got my credit card. They're using credit cards and they're out spending a bunch of money to give their kids a bunch of junk that they're going to tear up within 3 weeks. That's what they're doing. Okay? And we don't have the money anymore. And when we don't have the money anymore, we're sold into slavery. And you and I, in our flesh, we are sold into bondage because of our sin, because we cannot pay the debt. And yet, here comes Christ, who says, I'll pay it. I'll pay it. I'll buy you. Gomer. Hosea marries Gomer. He falls in love with her. And she's a harlot. She ends up leaving him. He sends the kids out. Hey, see if you can find your mom. Next thing he knows, she's out in the slave market, stripped down naked, being sold. And Hosea said, I'll pay the price. I'll buy her. Because he loved her. Okay? Well, I'll tell you what. To love a husband unconditionally, to love a wife unconditionally, that kind of gift only comes from God. And if you don't have it, get it. Because I'm telling you, it's worth it. My wife loves me unconditionally. I love my wife unconditionally. And it's not something that, oh, bless God, I'm not more spiritual than you are, I promise you, you know, because we've had our rough times and, you know, may down the road, I don't know. But there's nothing like getting help from God when you love your spouse. But anyway, back to redemption. I've got just a little time left here. Just a few verses on redemption and then we'll close because I could just talk about being redeemed all day long. Luke 21:28, when the bad times come, he said, when these things come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption, okay, draweth nigh. In other words, we are in the slave bondage right now to our sin. The law hath dominion over a man. And we are in bondage to our flesh, and I hate it. That's why I talked about it last time. I hate Mike Hoggard. I hate my flesh. I know that God is doing good things through me, but that's not because my flesh. It's in spite of my flesh. But one of these days, I'm going to be able to look up, and I'm going to see that my redemption is drawing nigh. And I'm looking forward to that day when Romans 8:23, not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. And I preached last Sunday, or the Sunday before last, on adoption. Anyway, the adoption, we are adopted sons, we're not natural born Jews, get over it. We are adopted in, the wild vine grafted in, Paul said in Romans, and the full adoption, now we're adopted on paper, but we haven't been, he hasn't taken custody yet. Then we're going to get the new body, the new name, everything that goes along with that. Now in Ephesians chapter 1, and this redemption is in Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 3 verse 24 said, Romans 3:23 says, for all of sin and come short of the glory of God. But verse 24 says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Okay, so even though we have sinned, we can be bought back. Ephesians 1, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Man, I really want to get into this very quickly. In whom we have redemption through his blood. Okay, his blood is the redemption, is what it was, the purchase price, his own blood, the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah, amen, praise the Lord, according to the riches of his grace. So when God talks to you about how, when Benny Hinn and all these other Creflo dollar bill, okay, and they all start, and Jesse Duplantis all start talking about how you can be rich, tell them you already are. Okay, my father is rich. And money, who needs money when I have grace? Okay? Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, that is, the New Testament, is making known the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. By the way, the word mystery is mentioned 22 times in the Bible. The word mysteries is mentioned 5 times in the Bible. That's 27. That's the number of books in the New Testament. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, book of Ruth, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Pastor Mike, do you believe in predestination? I believe in Romans chapter 1 verse 10. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 10 is what I believe. That's my doctrinal statement, by the way. And so is Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers, Deuteronomy, and all that stuff. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Okay, we first did, the Gentiles. In whom ye also trusted after ye heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. You were sealed, the shoe handed over. It sealed the deal. But not only that, it says you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. I've taught this in many different wonderful ways, but I want to go back to this very quickly. Jeremiah 32, 777th chapter of the Bible. And I just looked at that and I'm going to read that and find out what it says. And in this chapter here, very quickly, Jeremiah was told to go out and buy a parcel of land. It was his right to redeem it. So he went out, bought the land, and he took the two copies, okay? They took the bill of sale, the title deed, and they wrote it all out, and such palm tree over by such and such rock next to Hosanna Creek, and this and that and the other. It was all written out, and they took the purchased possession, and they took one of them, okay? And they sealed it up, okay? And they sealed it up, and they took the other one, and they left it unsealed. Oh, I love this. And they took them, and they put them in an earthen vessel, okay? I don't want to ruin my water that I have in here. Put them where? In an earthen vessel. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, he said, we have now this treasure in earthen vessels. Look here. God took the evidence, sealed it, put it in us. One of these days he's going to come and do what? Break the seals. And he's going to break the seals and go, oh, Palestinian Authority, I'm sorry, that land doesn't belong to you. It belongs to my people. Would you be so kind as to leave? That's what God's going to do. In heaven, which is our real inheritance, everything's going to be unsealed. Christ is going to open her up. Sorry, fallen angels. You're going to have to leave my land. My beautiful land that I've been working on, because my people are ready to move in now. See, it says so right here. This is why this Bible is being changed. It's being rewritten. Why? To change the title deed. Pretty smart, isn't it? The devil's pretty smart. You have to give him credit. Rewrite the land deed. And the land's yours. Pretty smart. Anyway, the deal is sealed. The shoe, if the shoe fits, wear it. Okay? And I proudly wear the shoe. My feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And I proudly and humbly wear the shoe sealed within an earthen vessel. Praise the Lord. I want to stop here because now the redemption has taken place, and now it's ready. In fact, I know where we're going to go next time. in verse 10. We're going to talk about raising the dead. Okay, we're going to talk about raising the dead. Looking forward to it. This is Pastor Mike. Thank you so much for your prayers. Arm's still working today, but it won't be for very long. So please keep me in your prayers that I could get back on my feet and get back here. And I'm just enjoying myself studying the Word of God with you. I love you. God bless you. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.